Jim Crockett Promotions presents Ric Flair's Last Match. July 31st at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium. StarCast Weekend in Nashville. Bringing wrestling companies together for one of the most unique cards ever assembled. Main evented by Ric Flair's Last Match. Tickets are on sale right now at RicFlair'sLastMatch.com. And you can catch the show live streaming on pay-per-view and Fight TV for only $34.99. Ric Flair's Last Match. Walk in that aisle one more time for the last time. StarCast is presented in part by ProWrestlingTees.com. T-shirts designed and sold by over 2,500 pro wrestlers. By Lenny Bakken, certified financial planner. And by Powerbomb Pizza. Pizza crafted and sold by pro wrestlers. Powerbomb Pizza, powered by Kitsch Data.
Get the house you want with the payment you want at buywithconrad.com. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this. At buywithconrad.com. NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. The first step to buying a house is buywithconrad.com.
It made national headlines when it was announced that Ric Flair would be returning to the ring for one last match. And the story that unfolds leading up to that match will be told every Monday this month at 6:05 Eastern. We invite you to come along and witness the Nature Boy's path back to the ring for his last match. The behind-the-scenes discussions, the workouts, the promotion, the ups and downs, the blood, sweat, and tears, which will all culminate on Sunday, July 31st at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium, when Ric Flair will step through those ropes and enter a JCP ring for one last match. Mondays, 6:05 Eastern, RicFlair'sLastMatch.com.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle, and welcome to the Kurt Angle Show. We'll be discussing July of 2002, 20 years ago. But first, let me introduce to you my co-host, Paul Bromwell. How you doing today, Paul?
Kurt, I'm doing great, man, and it's great to see you. We're peek behind the curtain. We're recording a little early for this episode because you and the family are headed to the Bahamas. Isn't that right?
Not me and the family, me and the wife.
Oh!
10-year anniversary.
Hey, congratulations, man. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're going to have a great time. We're going to be down there alone.
Oh, no wonder you're so excited then. I got the text the other day and you were like, shit, Paul, there's terrible internet connection in the Bahamas. So we got to get this one in early. And I just
get it out of the way. And the wife didn't want me to do a podcast down there anyway.
Oh, no, your attention needs to be on her, pal. So I totally get it. But man, that's awesome. We hope you and Giovanna have a great time. Happy anniversary. So very cool. 10 years already. My goodness. But buddy, listen, we're going to jump into it this week. July 2002. We're coming off last week. We talked about Jason Jordan, that whole mess of an angle that really didn't quite work out the way we all hoped. So this is a bit of a relief. We're going to talk about a big time high point in your career. Does that sound good, buddy?
Oh, it sounds great. I mean, this match is one of my favorite triple threat matches of all time. I wrestled The Rock and Undertaker, and the match was incredible.
That's right, man. We're talking about the build up to Vengeance 2002 today and that big payoff, that big match. That's the main event of the show, Rock and the WWE champion, The Undertaker. But we're immediately coming off of the King of the Ring pay-per-view, which you and I talked about. That's when you made Hulk Hogan freaking tap out, brother. And this is the first SmackDown after this. It's in Chicago. And that night, John Cena, you can't see me, made his big debut. You accepted his challenge. We talked about that on the John Cena episode a few weeks back. And now, can you believe it? That 20-year anniversary has happened. Did you happen to see any of the John Cena tribute show they did with his 20 years in the company on Raw?
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, his greatest moments in 20 years. They had a lot of interviews of former WWE superstars that John Cena wrestled that talked highly about John. It was a really good show.
Now, that's awesome, man. It's hard to believe already 20 years in the WWE for John. So time flies, I guess, when you're having fun, buddy.
Definitely.
So listen, you've ditched the goofy wig, and later on that same SmackDown, we see the start of the Build to Vengeance. Were you happy to finally get rid of that stinky, scuzzy wig?
Yes, I was. The thing stunk so badly, and it was a pain in the ass to keep on my head. Wearing that headgear over top of it, it just sucked, man. I loathed wrestling every night with that on.
It's hard to believe that that was the only thing holding it on. When you revealed that on the show, I'm like, my God, I can't believe that. It just held it on the entire time. So
it's amazing, huh?
Yeah, well, listen, if you remember, you had defeated WWE Champion The Undertaker in a non-title match the previous week, and now you interrupt Taker during a promo, making fun of him, and you challenge the winner of the upcoming title match with Taker versus Jeff Hardy for next week's SmackDown. And, buddy, let's have a look at what happened, clip one, this week. You challenging the dead man, The Undertaker.
You talk about a blowhard. I am this. I am ass. I did this. I did that. All you do is talk. Well, Undertaker, I'm a man of action. Oh, it's true.
You know, Kurt, you're a punk.
Okay. You're not going to break my concentration. Oh, no. I'm out here for one reason. You have a match Monday night on Raw, a ladder match for the title against Jeff Hardy. Why you would accept that, I have no idea. But if you can get by Jeff Hardy, I'm asking you, will you accept my challenge to a match with the title on the line next week on SmackDown?
You and me for the title on SmackDown. Well, Kurt, I got a motto, and it goes something like this. Why put off kicking somebody's ass next week when I can do it right now?
There we go.
You know, The Undertaker means every word he says.
Kurt ain't gonna back down.
Well, Taker, I just had a tune-up match, and I'm not really ready, you know, for a match tonight.
I was wrong.
I just had a match before.
Tune-up?
Wait a minute.
He's slick.
A tune-up match?
Yeah.
That's what you call that?
Yeah.
Hell, boy, you almost got beat by a damn rookie.
Hold on a second. Don't change the subject. I'm talking about a match against you next week on SmackDown for the title. Will you accept my challenge or not?
Let me make this real clear. Anytime, anywhere, anyhow, it's on, man.
That's pretty clear.
Okay, well, now that we have that out of the way, let's put all hostilities aside, okay? I just want to know if you'll give me the opportunity to touch the title. I just want to know what I'm fighting you for, that's all. May I, and I'm asking you, Taker, may I hold the WWE title?
Kurt loves gold. He just loves to touch gold.
You never seen it before. Never had it in your hand. Well, I tell you what, I normally wouldn't do this, Kurt. But feel free. Because that right there is as close as you'll ever come to having that title.
slap on the ankle lock at any time. So, Kurt, here you are. You're in the ring with Taker. He's the American badass version. Did you have a preference? Did it matter to you at all? Badass, the dead man?
You know what? He was actually different. Undertaker, as the American badass, was more up-tempo, a little quicker, a little faster paced. Undertaker was more methodical and slow, but I absolutely loved working with both of them. Undertaker was one of the best workers in the business ever.
Yeah. And it's so cool just to see you kind of going toe-to-toe, head-to-head with the big man there. So listen, at this time, you guys are on the road. You're running split shows between SmackDown and Raw. Was there a real competition between the boys on who's doing better business back then?
You know what? Not that I recall. Nobody ever compared ratings. Was SmackDown better than Raw? Were Raw better than SmackDown? I will say this. Raw was the flagship show, so most of the boys wanted to be on Raw. I preferred SmackDown because I thought it was more of a wrestling show. But for the most part, I don't think anybody really kept tabs.
Okay. Well, listen, just a few months into the brand extension here, what did you think of it overall?
You know, I didn't have a problem with it. What Vince McMahon told all of us at that particular time was that actors, when they're on TV shows, they air those shows air once a week. And he felt like we were overexposed because we were being aired twice a week on Raw and SmackDown. So Kurt Angle, Undertaker, The Rock, we would all be on Raw and SmackDown twice a week. And he felt it was overexposure. So he decided to split the brands and only have one, you know, you wrestle on one show.
Yeah.
And somebody else wrestle on the other show.
Well, it's nice too, because it just gave more opportunity for guys that maybe
definitely
not even sniffed.
That's the next thing I was going to say is more opportunity for the boys, more jobs for the boys. You're exactly right.
Always a good thing. Gives you a chance to do some different styles. Create your own brand concept, form of creative. Come up with some different ideas. And you know, they say it's not competitive, but let's be honest. Somebody, whether if it's not the wrestlers, the guys that are writing creative, somebody's keeping an eye on the ratings, and they want to be the best show. You just can't help it.
I would imagine so, definitely.
Come on. So the July 4th edition of SmackDown was taped in Boston. And, buddy, this is one that you've talked about before. There's a bit of a mess up in the finish of your match with Taker as you had to retape it. You've mentioned it here on the show. Let's talk a little bit about what Dave Meltzer said in The Observer. He said after the show had ended and the building cleared out, they taped a second ending, shooting tight and just filling in seats right in front of the camera. In the original ending, Undertaker tapped out to a triangle choke before the ref counted three, with Angle getting his shoulder up with the idea that he deserved to win. The other refs would explain Angle got his shoulder up after Tony Chimmel's first announcement was that Undertaker had won the match. Then he would announce it as a draw because of the botched call. Kurt, let's take a look and watch closely when the camera zooms in tight when you have the triangle choke on Taker. Plus, we'll see all the confusion afterwards. Here we go.
No time, it is cold.
It could be time for the last ride.
Kurt Angle is up high. And look at this. Kurt Angle. It looks like he's countering. He's got his legs locked. His legs are locked. It's a triangle choke. It's a triangle choke. It's a jiu-jitsu hold.
The Undertaker trying to combat the triangle choke. The big right hand into a choke. It was up by the Undertaker. Being applied by Kurt Angle, the Undertaker. The Undertaker, his face turning a beat red. The Undertaker trying to gain some leverage. Wait a minute.
I think
the Undertaker just pinned Kurt Angle.
Well, I don't know about that. I think the Undertaker just tapped out. I think we might have a new undisputed champion in Kurt Angle.
Well, I see your point. The Undertaker, well, it looked like he did tap out, but the referee was counting the 1, 2, 3 first, and well, I believe the pinfall would take precedent.
Well, I see your point, but where I'm from, once a man taps out, he's admitting he lost the match.
The winner of this match is...
I think referee Mike Chioda said, wait a minute. I think the referee's confused.
Undertaker looks nervous.
I think Kurt Angle's won the title. Mike Sparks claims Kurt Angle's won the title.
4th of July, Angle wins it.
What up so fast, referee Jimmy Cornerus awards the match to the Undertaker.
What the hell is going on?
Ladies and gentlemen, referee Mike Yoda's official decision. This match is...
claim to that championship. Angle made The Undertaker tap out. He feels he should be the champion.
Wow. All right. Talk to us. Tell us all about what you remembered, buddy.
You know what? It wasn't that bad.
No.
You really couldn't see it, though. It was really hard. You'd have to put the camera in slow motion.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a VCR and you're watching it, you're going to have to slow it down to see if that what really happened. But I think, you know, what happened was it wasn't clear enough, so we had to do it over again.
And was this a Vince call then?
Oh, yeah. We got in the back, and Vince is like, you're doing it over again. We're going to wait till everybody leaves this arena. You're going to do it at like 2 a.m. It was crazy.
And what they did
is they set up, they fed all the WWE employees that were there. They put them in the corner of the arena because there were no fans. So they made them look like WWE fans, and they shot a camera shot from the other side of the ring that showed the fans, and Undertaker and I were in the ring and the fans were in the background. It was crazy.
Dude, and without your explanation and, you know, guys like Meltzer, nobody would ever know the difference just watching that on TV.
No, you're absolutely right. You're definitely right.
That's crazy, man. And listen, you guys are essentially both heels at this point. This is one of the best matches before this weird finish at the time between the two of you, man. It looked like you really had a good time working with Undertaker, brother.
I did. I absolutely did. You know, being heel versus heel, you know, with Undertaker, because he was in the business so long, anytime I worked with him, the fans always cheered him over me. And I don't blame them for that. That's, you know, we were both heels at the time, but Undertaker, you know, putting in at that point in time, like 20 years. So,
yeah, if you're going to pick someone to shit on, I mean, it's got to be Kurt Angle.
The Olympic gold medalist.
Especially back in those years.
The one that won a gold medal for his country.
When you put it that way, Kurt. Oh, man. But he's the Undertaker, man. He's beloved Undertaker. So, listen, we have a draw with you and Taker. And Vince then announced on July 8th Raw that it will be you versus Taker versus The Rock in a three-way match for the title at Vengeance. We move on to the July 11th SmackDown. That was taped in Atlantic City and featured the return of the Great One, The Rock. But first, Taker confronted you and Jericho in a hilarious segment, buddy, and we got it here for you to check out. Let's take a look.
Well, if it isn't the man who's holding my championship,
it's got my name on it.
I have a question for you, Taker. When's the last time you tapped? Oh, wait a minute. It was last week when I made you tap.
No. I think you got it all wrong, Kurt. It was 1, 2, 3 the way I see it.
No. I made you tap.
No. You got beat 1, 2, 3.
First of all, the tap supersedes the pin. I made you tap before you got the pinfall. I'm the winner.
Yeah, don't you know the rules, Taker?
Yeah, huh? Don't you know the rules?
I know I'm the undisputed champion.
Undisputed champion. I think we should change your name from Undertaker to the Under...
Dude, you and Chris Jericho were hilarious together.
Chris was hilarious chewing that gum and Undertaker under tapper.
Yeah, the under tapper and just cocky and arrogant, and you two just chuckling off. Such comedy chops by both of you, and that was a fun one. Now, listen, there's another great segment which we got between you and Rock. We're gonna watch a little bit of that too. This is so much gold back in the day.
Me up because actually, well, you kind of look like this guy, Kurt Angle, the last time The Rock was here. I can't picture it. You dress like Kurt Angle, you look a lot different. You look like, let me see, did you change your cologne or something? You look different. Hold on, no, you still wear the same old Calvin Klein donkey nuts. That smell, I don't know what it is. Well, you got a big A on your chest right there. What's that A mean? What's the A stand for? stand for that? Am I stand for that? Anus, something like that. I mean, what's it stand for? What? What's it stand for? The A stands for ankle. Kurt Angle, the next undisputed.
Whoa!
The Rock just figured it out. Exactly. I probably know what's different about you.
Somebody got a haircut.
No, it's cool, it's cool. It looks good. Don't get angry. Yeah, bald head looks good. Who would ever thought? All the stars came out tonight, baby. You got The Rock, Busta Rhymes, and Dr. Evil himself. We're all here.
Oh, that's real cute, Rock. I hate to break it to you, but you're yesterday's news. You think you're so cool and popular. Well, there's a new number one man around here, Rock. Me. SmackDown is now officially Kurt Angle's show. You should have seen it last week, the fans on the 4th of July waving the American flag in support of me. You know, you think you're so great. You think you're so great, Rock. Because you won the Teen Choice Award. Big deal. Teens love me. They line up around the block just to get my autograph. Do you have any idea what my autograph goes for, huh, Rock?
Yeah, I could pretty much get a guess. How about the $1 million? Something like that. Okay, that does it. That does it, Rock. All right? I've had enough. You know, I thought when you came back, you would have grown up a little bit, but you haven't. You're like a little freaking child. But I'll tell you what, you're lucky I have a match tonight. But this is what I'm saying. Next week on SmackDown, that's right, I don't want to wait till Vengeance. Next week on SmackDown, you and me one-on-one. Whoa. And Rock, I know you can sing, but next week, I'm going to make you tap. Next week, SmackDown. Week before Vengeance. Is that what you want? Well, The Rock officially says it's on. But there's something The Rock wants to bring to your attention. You see, because everybody here tonight, they didn't pay their hard-earned money to see The Rock whoop your ass next week. No. You see, The Rock is talking about tonight. Tonight! Well, that's just too bad, because they're going to have to wait. Oh! Wait for what? Why wait till next week? The Rock taking a dangle! Oh. The Rock pissing the cold down.
Dude, how much fun did you have doing these skits with The Rock?
The Rock is the most entertaining guy in the business, period. He's the funniest guy in the business, period. That guy is amazing. I love doing promos with him and wrestling him in matches.
$1 million, Kurt. I'm laughing.
I had a good setup for it. You know how much my photo goes for?
Listen, and now he goes ahead and shaves his head bald. So, you know,
yes,
he's part of the club.
In Hollywood.
He's part of the club. So, but you got an, I mean, having The Rock back though at this point in time, it just feels like, dare I say, a jolt of electricity back into the brand, does it not?
Oh yeah, the fans get excited when Rick comes back, and the ratings go up. They definitely do.
You got that right. Their cheers get loud. The ratings go up. It's just the big fan for everybody. Even just him picking on that red slinglet, man. Whatever. I don't know what it is about that thing. I think you popped a blue chew before you walked out there in that red slinglet, man. That thing's like Saran wrap on you. But dude, this is good shit. The main event of that show, Taker and John Cena defeat you and Jericho, with Rock laying both you and Taker out to close the show, getting some revenge for Taker and leaving him laying in the clip that we just saw. And you can tell the company had big plans for John Cena, buddy. He's in there with you three early on. And when putting this match together, are you three encouraging him to contribute ideas, or is this one of those, listen, kid, just shut up and follow what we're doing out here?
You know what? John knew better. We would allow him to put his two cents in if he wanted to, but John was very respectful. I think he knew his position in the company at that particular time. I think he knew his place, and he was pretty quiet, but I don't blame him. If I were in the same position as him, I would have done the same.
One thing you don't want to hit you suddenly, and that is an annoying car repair. And Kurt, that is where Car Shield can help. CarShield makes it easy and affordable to protect my car from expensive repairs, and they can help you too. And that's just for starters. CarShield is the number one auto protection company in the U.S. and offers protection plans for around $100 a month. That plan covers more parts than ever before, whether your car has 5,000 miles or 150,000 miles. Let me tell you how simple it is to get your car fixed. When you need a repair, you choose a mechanic, and CarShield's administrators will handle the rest. That's it. You don't have to deal with the paperwork or headaches, you're taken care of. Same goes if your car breaks down and you're stuck on the side of the road. Plans through CarShield also include coast-to-coast roadside assistance. You can't beat it. CarShield's administrators are there for you with rental car options and trip reimbursements at no extra cost. This is too good to be true. So get coverage today and you'll lock in your price now, and it will never go up. That means as long as you own your own car, no matter how old it is, you're protected from the rising cost of parts and repairs for your vehicle. CarShield helps protect my wallet from expensive car repairs, and they'll do the same for you. Go to carshield.com/podcast to start your plan and lock in your pricing forever. That's carshield.com/podcast. A deductible may apply.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
So, Kurt, the go-home SmackDown was taped in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and the main event was The Rock defeating you, Kurt, via DQ, and lots of chaos at the end with The Undertaker. We got the clip. Let's watch it. The clip of the go-home SmackDown and all the chaos, buddy.
Knocked over the top rope. The Rock's coming out to meet him. And here comes the promo pull. The promo pull with a right hand angle. Kurt Angle. Oh, look out. The Undertaker, the champ. And the Rock clearing the Undertaker out. With the angle, hit the Undertaker. And now Kurt Angle takes advantage.
Right here with a table.
The Rock bouncing off the table. Kurt Angle in control. Trash talking from Angle to the promo ball. Back into the ring. The 10 count broken up. Kurt Angle now stalking the Rock. And I think Kurt Angle believes the end's near. And the ankle lock. The ankle lock is locked in. Counter by the Rock. And here's the Rock off the ropes. Kurt Angle. Uh-oh. The DDT. The Rock floated over and connected. Cover. Hooks the leg. He's got it. Champ on the apron. It goes for the right hand.
Here goes the dead man.
Spinebuster. There it comes. Oh. in the triple threat match Sunday. Oh, wait a minute. Kurt Angle, steel chair. The Rock and Undertaker oblivious.
Take it on Cena.
Oh, to the bag, the Undertaker. And a Rock with a clothesline. The Brahma Bull knocking Angle down. Went for the Rock.
Oh, no.
And Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle at the Rock.
Beautiful.
Ankle lock. Kurt Angle wants to break the ankle. The Rock tapping to the ankle lock.
He's tapping. He was tapping it right.
Kurt Angle found to make the Rock tap. And the Brahma Bull tapping out. Even though this match is over with. Kurt Angle proving that he can make the Rock tap.
Come Sunday at Vengeance, if Kurt Angle makes the Rock tap, that triple threat may go right in the hands of Angle, and that'll be the new champ.
So there it is, Kurt. You're the last man standing on that one. Was there any talk, do you remember, of possibly making you the champ at Vengeance instead of The Rock?
Not at that particular time. I think they wanted to bring The Rock back and make him champion. And I do believe that I was in that match particularly to do the job.
All right.
I think they wanted to protect Undertaker. It was early in my career, and it was a great feature match to be a part of. And I think what they wanted to do beforehand was the week before I put Taker in the ankle lock briefly and then let it go to show that I was dangerous. And then I got Rock in the ankle lock and he tapped out, and it showed that my ankle lock could be dangerous at any particular time. So they were trying to send that message to the fans, but at the same time, I was in the match to do the job.
Well, hey, that was the role that was assigned to you, and you did it well, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. But I want to talk a little bit more about The Rock. Did you notice any difference in The Rock with his work here in 02 compared to when he was on the road regularly? Any hesitation from him as he's getting into
honestly,
this?
No. Okay. You know, he was always on. Anytime he came back, even if he left for 4, 5, 6, 8 months, he'd come back and he'd be on. I don't know how his cardiovascular always stayed up. And, you know, his wrestling skills were always good. He was never off.
Yeah, man. Just another guy, too, that I would love. You got to work with him quite a bit. But again, I can never get enough of Kurt Angle and Rock interaction, not only in the ring, but on the stick, bro. I mean, some of that stuff.
We were entertaining together.
You were. You, Jericho, you, Rock, all you guys, man. Such a great era for wrestling.
We had some fun.
Well, listen, we've made it. We're here. It's Vengeance 2002. It took place on July 21st from Detroit, Michigan. Before we get to the match, though, before it even happens, something historic occurs. It's the first tease of you versus Brock Lesnar in a backstage segment, as Brock will be facing the winner of tonight's match at SummerSlam next month. Kurt, we have this clip, this tease. Let's take a look at it.
Angle, allow me the honor, sir, of introducing you to your opponent at SummerSlam, the next big thing, Brock Lesnar.
Oh, really? The next big thing?
It's true.
Well, I'm Kurt Angle, Olympic gold medalist, and the next WWE Undisputed Champion. Nice to meet you.
Kurt, on behalf of Brock, it's such an honor just to be standing here talking to you. You have been such an inspiration.
Save it, Paul. I heard you give the same old song and dance to Taker last week, and I only have one thing to say. Brock, I'd love to face you at SummerSlam. Intercontinental Champion versus Undisputed Champion. But if you even think about messing with me the way you did Taker last week, I will take you down so fast, you won't know what hit you. See, this isn't the summer of Brock. It's all year Angle. Got it?
Good luck tonight, Kurt.
Boy, he's full of himself. I hate pompous people.
I hate pompous people. Love it. But Kurt, I'm just gonna say body language, the way that you're facing him, he's looking down at you, trying to be all intimidating. And I know this is all part of the script, etc. But buddy, there's no back down in your face at all. You're saying what you believe, and it's written all over your face. You're not intimidated one bit by him.
Really,
are you?
You think so?
I mean, it is.
I was really unconfident back then.
Real? Shut up, Kurt. But I love it. I mean, I love it because it just showed how confident you were in whether this is shoot, whether this is real. I'm fucking Kurt Angle. It's that look in your eye.
You know what? This is what Vince wanted to do. He knew that Brock and I were going to go WrestleMania the following year. And what he wanted to do is have some pass-bys in the hallway of Brock and I just talking for a second. We did this for a few months.
Slow burn.
It was a really cool build-up to it.
Man, I just wish that there would be that much foresight in today's product to do some slow burn stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The slow burn always works really good. It's always better.
Yeah, and it was just a little drip. I mean, how long was that? 45 seconds? But that was enough to get people excited about a dream match potential. Oh, God, so good. And I know you've talked about it. You got to be excited with the prospect of working with Brock at that point, right?
Oh, gosh, man. He tore it up in college. He was a great amateur wrestler. And I was told down in NXT he was tearing it up there. And his wrestling skills were awesome. So I couldn't wait to get a hold of him. Mm. I didn't know how he was going to be on the microphone, you know, speaking and doing pre-tapes and promos. But he carried himself pretty good, especially for as young as he was. But he was incredible in the ring. I loved working with Brock.
And it definitely helped Paul Heyman being there, mouthpiece. Especially.
Oh, yeah. Paul was definitely a great mouthpiece for Brock. Definitely.
And even up until recently. But you can see, too, now Brock's at the point where he doesn't have to say much to be impressive with the mic.
He never had to. He's just like Undertaker. He just has to say a few words. That's it.
Yeah. And fans are going to eat it up. And he's a badass. And that's all he needs to be. So there you go. Well, Kurt, listen, it's time to tell you about something that I'm super passionate about. I know you are, too. And that's protecting our families, man. Yes, this is a life insurance ad for GoliathLife.com. But to us, this is really about peace of mind. I want you to think about insurance for a second as you listen to this podcast. We all get medical and auto insurance, yet we never even know if we're going to have a need for it. We may from time to time. But let me let you in on a little secret. You're going to need life insurance. We're all going to die. Now, as you let that reality sink in, think about what would happen if your family stopped having your income tomorrow. If you don't have a plan for that, you need to visit GoliathLife.com, and I mean right now. Listen, I've lost two friends in their 40s in the last year and a half, and I don't even want to think about what their families would have to be going through if they did not have life insurance. If you don't have it, get it. What are you waiting for? Protect your family. And I suggest you go to GoliathLife.com because they've made the process of getting affordable life insurance super easy. GoliathLife.com streamlines the life insurance process by allowing you to get quotes from more than, listen to this, 20 carriers within minutes. And you'll pick your terms and payments to fit your budget. You pick your price. How good is that? You start the online application immediately, and you even schedule the medical exam to come to you. I've done it. They sent someone right to my office. I skipped all the phone calls, the paperwork, and the crazy invasive conversations. GoliathLife.com makes buying life insurance simple. There's no hidden fees, no upsells, no hassle, hell, not even a phone call. GoliathLife.com is life insurance in your hands, on your time, and you can get multiple quick quotes right now from the comfort of your own home and begin your application in a few easy clicks right now at GoliathLife.com. I'm telling you, it's peace of mind. Well, Kurt, we have the finish of Vengeance, and let's watch it before we kind of go through what Meltzer had to say about it. So in our final clip of the week, here it is, the Vengeance main event.
Rock and Vegas! What a last ride! A thunderous last ride! There's a cover! It is damn sure over! Yeah! An ankle! Was he wrong? There's the ankle lock! There's the ankle lock!
Yeah!
Angle won the save in the ankle lock!
That's not what I'm
saying! Undertaker has tapped before! In his life to Kurt Angle.
Angle said he was going to make the Undertaker tap. He's going to do it.
The Olympian is going to break the Undertaker's ankle, or the Undertaker's going to tap out.
You better tap, Taker.
The Undisputed title is on the line.
You got to tap, Taker.
Who's going to survive this?
Look at Undertaker. He's actually to his feet.
Undertaker countered. Oh, out of desperation. The Undertaker barely able to counter.
I don't even see how he's able to stand up. How's he going to be able to do this?
And now the Undertaker. Is it going to last? Wait a minute. Angle's going to A triangle choke. Angle's going to choke the Undertaker out here.
He made Taker tap before with this.
Undertaker trying to get the pin, but the Undertaker losing oxygen. He's got his hands in between the legs. Undertaker is trying to counter. There's a cover.
a count, a near fall. But the longer the Undertaker fights it, the harder he fights it.
Oh, my God.
The quicker he's going to go down. Oh, my God. My God, that's inhuman. That is in God human.
Where did he get that? Oh, he's got it again.
Right back with that triangle. The triangle choke.
Yeah, he's really got it cinched in. Look at that. He's got a tap.
The Undertaker's an undisputed title hanging in the balance here. It's damn near over.
He's got a tap.
This war is almost over.
Oh, wait a minute. He's out. He's out. One more time and he's out. Kurt Angle.
And The Rock.
What?
The Rock stopped it. The Undertaker's arm, you got to believe, was going to drop for the third and final time. But The Rock stopped it.
Uh-oh. Watch it, Kurt. Unbelievable! Look out! Oh, no!
Undertaker hooking up Kurt Angle. Choke slam! Choke slam by the Undertaker. Damn near out on his feet. And wait a minute! Rock bottom!
I've never seen a match like this.
That's it!
Championship.
And we're back to just where we damn sure started. It's anybody's ball game. The undisputed title on the line. Angle is on the roll up. Cradle. The other tights. Oh, he got a near fall. My God.
These people on their feet. Oh, man.
Undertaker drilling a rock in the headlock.
Oh!
The ankle slam on the Undertaker. The Undertaker is down.
How much more can he get?
Undisputed champion. This was a war in Detroit. And vengeance. The Rock survived. The Rock is the undisputed champion of the WWE.
I don't even know how Jim Ross has lungs left at this point.
He screams and yells, man.
It's a war.
Yeah, he's got a lot of power in that voice.
My God, and that, trust me, I know. I get to hear it almost on a weekly basis on his podcast. But, buddy, there was nobody that could sell it better than that man. He was such a storyteller. But let's talk about selling for a second, because the Undertaker as a big man, he took your angle slam like nobody else. I mean, so easy it looked.
Yeah, he was always light on his feet. You never had to horse him up. He'd get up
so smooth. Easily. Yeah. So smooth. So let's hear a little bit of what Meltzer had to say about it. And buddy, he loves you. Okay. The main event was one of those classic matches that make shows almost by themselves. While Kurt Angle was the star in the match. You want me to read that again?
Yes.
Okay. While Kurt Angle was the star in the match where Rock became the first 7-time world champion in company history, the performances of all involved, as well as the announcing, shouldn't go unnoticed. See, he even says it here. Some complained
about.
Oh, man, he was something else. Some complained about the finish where Rock used the Rock Bottom on Angle rather than the Undertaker, the defending champ. In 2 weeks, we should have a better idea. It would have been preferable for Rock to beat the champ for the title unless they're saving a Rock versus Undertaker match for TV where Rock beats him as well, with Undertaker having the excuse of never really having lost the belt. If they aren't going in that direction, it was just an easy way out booking. So you talked about it. You were there to take the loss, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I wasn't told that. I could just read the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
And it's definitely.
You're the fall guy. We're going to call you the fall guy in that match. And were you surprised, though, that, because think about this. We had just a few weeks ago talked about the big tap out victory over Hogan a month before. And then, you know, kind of you know, goes by the wayside here, buddy.
Well, you know what? We were the main event of that pay-per-view. It was a great feature match. It put me in a great feature match early in my career. So true. I'll take it.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. It's not like you're losing any shine.
No, not at all. Being in the ring with those two guys.
Yeah.
That was good.
You're still elite. There you go. So let's talk about a three-way match. As you said, hey man, this is the best three-way match I've ever been in. How hard are three-way matches to put together? If you can just kind of break it down for our listeners.
Well, there's a lot of memorization. I mean, you know, you have three people in that match, but for the most part, two people are only wrestling. The other person's outside the ring selling or down in the ring selling. So you have to have incredible timing, because when somebody gets somebody into a false finish, the other guy has to come in and break up the count and then continue on the match with one of the two wrestlers that he broke up the count with. So there's a lot of stuff going on. You can't really improvise that much. You can only improvise for a little bit of time when you're in the ring with one guy. But for the most part, you have to plan the whole entire match out from beginning to end.
Meltzer has a few more comments here that I want to read to you. He said, Rock won the WWE title over Undertaker by pinning Kurt Angle in 1935. A hell of a well-booked and well-worked match. They did several spots where one guy would be injured so the other two could just work with each other rather than coordinate among three, which is more difficult. Angle was wearing a new ring outfit. Okay, so there you go. You broke out some new duds. That's right. That's that blue, red, and white camouflage.
And listen to this. I just want to tell you a quick story. That camouflage was red, white, blue, and gold. And I put it in the dryer, and the gold turned pink. So that's why I had red, white, blue, and pink.
Oh, wow. Do you know whatever happened to that slinglet? Because I don't recall.
I gave it to a charity. I have no idea where it went.
That's cool. Well, listen, so you got the new outfit with the bald head. He looks like a new guy, but luckily wrestles like the same old guy.
Well, yes.
Isn't that nice, Dave? He said, Undertaker was injured first. Good choice. And Rock and Angle tore the place up like old times. Rock walks right in and doesn't miss a beat. That's exactly what you said earlier. Angle suplexed Rock all over the place. Started using each other's moves. He would go on just to talk about what we saw there with the finish. But overall, Kurt, he gave it 4.5 stars.
Nice. So
Meltzer definitely loved the match. We only watched the ending, but what an amazing match. So Rock will go on to defend against Lesnar at SummerSlam, which we are all aware, all of us, you know, wrestling nerds that love wrestling, and we do, and there's nothing wrong with that. And it's kind of crazy to think, though, that Brock is in the same spot today, getting ready to go to SummerSlam, wrestling for the title 20 years later. This
Holy
time it's
crap.
Roman Reigns. Isn't that crazy, dude?
Well, you know what? I will say this. He was in his early 20s when he started. So
yeah.
I imagine he's now in his early 30s, or early 40s. So, I mean, it is possible.
He just turned 45. I know that because Brock and I were both born in 1977.
Good. You're 45 too.
I'll be 45 in September. Also born in 77, John Cena.
Nice. So John Cena's 45 too.
45, Jeff Hardy. 1977.
Oh, well, I have news for all of you. That's when things start going downhill.
There's the public service announcement from Kurt Angle.
My work skills started going.
Your life is screwed, guys. I love it. So the new ring outfit, got a couple questions. You talked about that. Is that just something you were like, hey, I want something brand new. I like camo. How'd that
I had a great costume lady named Yolanda, and she decided to make a camouflage singlet out of red, white, and blue. And
okay.
She was like, do you mind if I put gold on there because you want a gold medal? I said, of course. I want everything, red, white, blue, and gold. So she was awesome. I will say this, and I shouldn't say this on the show, but I'm going to say it anyway. She charged me a lot of money for it. And there was a lot of labor hours.
Yeah.
So I understood, but the company got hold of it and thought she charged too much and they let her go.
That
singlet. I didn't want that to happen. I loved her.
Kurt,
I'm not sure
go,
why
dude.
That happened, but they
you
let
jerk.
Her go because she charged too much for that singlet. Isn't that
so
crazy?
Yeah, that's crazy. So are you the one who tells the company this is what she charged me? Cause are there, what are they reimbursing? Supposed to reimburse?
I don't know. I don't know if someone saw the receipt.
Okay.
And when I was holding it in my hand, when she gave it to me, there were other people there, but I didn't say anything. And I heard she got let go because of that.
Oh my God, dude.
Now the whole podcast is about Yolanda.
And we're all crying for Yolanda, and we're saying, Kurt Angle, I felt you suck. You suck.
I did not want that to happen.
Way to go. And poor Yolanda has been looking for a job ever since. What a nightmare.
And don't say that.
I'm kidding. Wow, man. Well, hopefully Yolanda's out there stitching her little fingers to the bone and just making as much money as she can. I doubt she's doing any red, white, and blue and gold camouflage anymore. Oh my, what was it? Lined in gold, real actual gold? That's insane.
Hey, I can't imagine how many hours it took her.
Oh,
That looked really difficult to put together.
Wow, I didn't think we were going to go this way, but that's fun. Listen, guys, if you want to see Kurt watch this match back in its entirety, go to adfreeshows.com. It's a bonus show. Kurt and John Alba, they're going in depth while watching the entire match together, so check it out. Kurt, we have some fan questions before we get out of here this week. Thank you, man. This has been another – I love these early WWE days, man.
Me too.
The matches are great, but the comedy and the storylines getting there are so fun and so well done. You do such a great job. We're going to start with Two Count Kyle, our buddy. He says, Kurt, this is one of my favorite matches of yours. It's so much fun. Triple threats can be awkward and must be hard for you to compete in, but when they work, man, they really work. And I love the dynamic and chemistry between all of you in this one, especially using each other's finishers. Whose idea was it for you all to steal each other's finishers?
Ding, ding, ding.
Olympic gold medalist. There you go.
Yes. I told The Rock to do the choke slam, Undertaker to do the angle slam, and I did the rock bottom. And it was my idea. And I'm going to take all the credit for it right now.
As you should. This is your show. You get to say, you can take credit for anything you want, pal, on here. And there's nobody here to dispute
it. It's my show.
That's right. So it is Kurt's idea. All right. Michael McClanahan is up next. Boy genius. And he says, from an in-ring psychology standpoint, what are Kurt's thoughts on a champion being able to lose their title in a triple threat match without being involved in the deciding fall? So how do you feel about that?
It kind of sucks, but you know, that's what continues on storyline. So let's just say that the champion doesn't lose, but he loses the title.
Yeah.
Like you said earlier, they still have a gripe. That champion that lost the title has a gripe, and he can ask for a rematch with the guy that won the title from him. So it just continues on the storyline.
Makes all the sense in the world when you're writing episodic TV, soap opera style, you know, sport, if you will. Matt Godfrey's up next. He says, he wants to know who the agent is that put together your triple threat match. Do you remember who you worked with on that one?
I believe it was Pat Patterson and Johnny Laurinaitis. They were both incredible at putting matches together. They assisted us in our matches. We came up with most of the ideas, though.
All right. Yam Bag Jones says, what hurt more, taking a choke slam or the rock bottom?
Oh, the choke slam. I mean, you're out of control when you go up. Rock bottom, he has you close inside his body.
Yeah,
he goes down and bumps with you. Yeah. When someone bumps with you, the bump isn't as abrasive. When you do the choke slam, he doesn't come down with you. You go down by yourself. You're taking the whole bump by yourself, and it's really difficult. It'll make you shit your pants.
Okay, so let's do it. Did you shit your pants when you took
a couple times? I did.
Okay. Right here at Kurt Angle Show, he shit his pants on choke slams. Awesome. I love the show. Brad Stanton's up next. Would you have rather faced The Undertaker one-on-one?
I always want to face anyone one-on-one. I prefer one-on-one matches over triple threat matches any day of the week and twice on Sundays.
Okay. Answer is yes, Brad. There you go. Dylan says, you've discussed how triple threats are more difficult than singles. Did you have two opponents that made them easier, or were they just all around more challenging?
Well, you know what? When we did the tag team triple threat match, Edge and Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero and Chavo Guerrero versus Chris Benoit and myself.
Yeah.
They made it easy. It was a lot of fun. That match was a lot of fun to do. You didn't have to remember as much because you had a tag team partner. It was the easiest match I ever wrestled.
There you go. All right. Three more questions here, Kurt. Bryant Haremza says, you have a match with The Undertaker on SmackDown in which he clearly taps out. How hard is it to get your timing down to make those pinfall tap outs be so close and happen at the same time?
You just have to hope for the best.
My God.
Hey, we messed it up the first time. We had to do it a second time later on in the night. So, it shows how difficult it is.
Dude, I felt bad for my buddy Mike Chioda. I mean, he was lost. He was looking over a triple.
We were all over him.
Oh,
and the fans are pissed off at him too.
Oh, I know. Oh, Mike Chioda. All right, Bobby, he's up next. He says, when did you have to start memorizing everything promo-wise in WWE?
I did it from the beginning. You mean like memorizing promos?
Yeah, because like, you know, there for a while they would let people freestyle, but now it's one of those things where now it's more than bullets. Like they want the guys to start really kind of memorizing their promos before they go out there. So,
well, you know what? I memorized most of my promos because I never practiced at doing promos, and I have a photographic memory. So if I read something a few times, I can say every single word that was on there.
We're going to have page. A game with Kurt Angle.
I once did three type pages, a promo that was 20 minutes long, and they gave me 10 minutes. I was 10 minutes before the show started. I was starting out at the beginning of the show. I was going to start the show, and they give me this three-page type promo and said, memorize this. You have 10 minutes. I was like, holy shit. So I read it over three or four times, and I almost got all of it perfectly. But I was really close, but I got most of it. And I they were really impressed that I was able to do that. So I've always memorized promos from the beginning.
I tell you what, the talent with Kurt Angle just seems to have no end. There's just no
I don't know if that's talent or not.
That's a skill, buddy. That's a skill. I mean, that's amazing. We'll have to challenge that one day, the Kurt Angle challenge. We'll do something okay. Fun. Joey, the Tori Amos guy. Says, this is our final question. Did you know that this was probably going to be one, if not the last time you wrestled The Rock?
You know what? The Rock was so in and out. You didn't know when he was coming. Actually, the first time he left, I didn't think he was coming back. So every time he came back, it was a pleasant surprise.
Well, listen, speaking of some good times and wrestling some guys that, my goodness, we talked about right here on the show. Next year, we're going to skip ahead a full year. We're going back to Vengeance. This time, 2003. Kurt, it's another triple threat match, your favorite, but it's with two different guys. It's with the Beast, Brock Lesnar, and the Big Show.
Big Show.
Yeah, man. So that's going to be a good time, and we're going to have a lot of fun there. Before we do get out of here this week, though, I want to remind all of you, check out ad-free shows. I mentioned earlier that you can get a watch-along there with John Alba and Kurt on that full match. Guys, that's where you get all this bonus material. Kurt does ask Q&A Zooms with our members. We have a lot of other stars and wrestling personalities over there doing a lot of great things for our friends, so check that out. Also, take a look. Physicallyfit.com, Kurt. That's where they can get all their chicken snacks. Angle Pod, 20% off. What do you got there, Kurt?
We got now our chicken snacks and our Snack Smart Crispy Protein Bites. High protein, low carbohydrate, 11 different flavors. Go to physicallyfit.com to order yours. If you use the code AnglePod, you get 20% off your first order, or you can become a lifetime member signing up on the website, and you'll get 20% off for the rest of your life.
All right, very good. Kurt, I need more of you in my life. I mean, an hour a week is lovely, but I need cameos. I need T-shirts. I need a lot more of you, and I can find that. Guess where you can find it too, listeners? KurtAngleBrand.com. Tell them what they can find.
That's right.
There.
Cameo video messages, T-shirts, autographed photos, birthday cards, cowboy hats. I got milk cartons. I got the whole ball of wax. Go to KurtAngleBrand.com. And order yours, and I will send it right back to you.
For those that are watching video, I got my milk carton right here. It says intelligence, integrity, and intensity with Kurt Angle right
there. They have it in the wrong order. It's intensity, integrity, and intelligence.
Who's working on this shit, dude? I mean, what's going on here? This isn't the gold medal level of what we should have here, but it is called Angle Milk. All right, so there you go. Check it all out over there. WildcatBelts.com. Again, two of those beautiful belts as Kurt does the twist and shout, pulls around. Oh, go ahead. You got your buddy there. I need to get a stuffed Kurt Angle, by the way. I can use it.
The Slam Buddy.
The Slam Buddy. When you're getting on my nerves, I'll use it as like a voodoo doll and hit pins into it. But look at that championship belt, brother. Hero. Awesome. The American Hero belt. I got one on the shelf behind me. Check it out. WildcatBelts.com. Two left. Be on the short list of ones that own this amazing belt. What a tribute for the Olympic hero, Kurt Angle. So check it out. And finally, as we've been pushing the entire time, you want to check us out live? You can do it in Wisconsin, Wrestling Night at the Park, Saturday, August 27th for the Timber Rattlers. Kurt Angle and myself will be there. Podcast at the plate. He's going to be there to answer all your questions prior to the game. He's going to throw out the first pitch. He's going to buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. We're going to have a good time together. It all goes down in Appleton, Wisconsin. If you want to check out their website, go to schedules and promos. Scroll down to August 27th. Look for that beautiful blue-eyed bald man. No, not me, Kurt Angle. And you can check it out there. And, Kurt, I'm looking forward to that, brother.
Me too. It'll be a lot of fun.
Kurt, enjoy the Bahamas with your beautiful bride.
I will. We're going to have so much fun. Thank you, Paul. I'm glad we got this out of the way today. This is awesome.
Hey, listen, I'm too. I didn't want to deal with Bahama shitter net, so we're good to go. On behalf of the Olympic gold medalist, Kurt Angle, this is Paul Bromwell. We'll see you guys in a week. We'll find out all the juicy details of their tryst in the Bahamas right here on The Kurt Angle Show.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie. Is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.